Silence filled the presence chamber as Charlian and Green Mountain gazed at him. Then, finally, Green Mountain cleared his throat.
"What you say about our distance from the temple, about our ability, joined together, to defend ourselves against attack, may be true. The church's reaction to the defiance you propose to bid it will certainly put that truth to the test, however. And in the face of that storm, only the strongest tree could hope to survive. It's one thing to speak of alliances in the normal sense of the world, my lord, for the truth is, as we all know, that in the normal sense of the world, there will always be a tomorrow. Interests change. Objectives flow. This month's or this year's ally becomes next month's or next year's foe. And so the dance continues, with partners changing as the music changes. But what you propose, what your king proposes, can only have one tomorrow. The group of four and the church will never forget or forgive someone who bids them defiance, and not simply because of the calculation of corrupt men. Since the day of creation, the church has been the keeper of men's souls, the proclaimer of God's will, and there are men and women of good faith within the church who will fight to the death to preserve her overlordship in God's name, not the name of corrupt ambition. The war you propose to fight will have to end not in treaties and negotiations between diplomats dancing the measures we all know, but in utter defeat or victory. There can be no lesser end for either side than that, for the church will never yield, never accept any other victory than the restoration of her supremacy as God's bride, and she will be no normal alliance with changing partners. Which means that if Caris is to have any hope of final victory, her alliances must be equally firm, equally final.
My lord, Grey Harbor said, this isn't a war we propose to fight. It's a war which has already begun, whether we ever wanted to fight it or not. But even though you're entirely correct about the stakes, about the way in which the church will view its nature and the way in which she will fight it, we hope and believe in time there can be an end. That it need not continue unabated until all of those on one side are dead or enslaved. What that end may be, or when it will come, is more than anyone in Caris would dare to predict. Yet my king agrees that any alliances must be strong and permanent enough to endure that sort of bitter test. In fact, he believes that what is truly needed isn't an alliance at all.
It isn't? Despite her best effort, Charlian couldn't quite keep her surprise out of her tone, and Grey Harbor smiled.
As Baron Greenmountain just said, Your Majesty, alliances come and go, which is why I wasn't sent to you to propose an alliance at all. Instead, my king proposes a marriage.
Charlian jerked upright in her chair, her eyes wide, and Greenmountain inhaled sharply. The queen's surprise was obvious, but as Grey Harbor watched her first counselor, he found himself wondering if Green Mountain hadn't suspected where Caleb was headed from the outset.
I have brought with me King Caleb's personal letters and documents setting forth his proposals, Your Majesty,
the Earl continued, still watching Green Mountain's expression.
Fundamentally, however, they're very simple. Stripped of all the high-flown legal language, what King Caleb proposes is the unification of Caris and Chisholm through marriage. You would retain the crown of Chisholm for the remainder of your life. He would retain the crown of Caris for the remainder of his life. Should either of you predecease the other, the surviving spouse would hold both crowns for the remainder of his or her life, and upon his or her death, both crowns would pass as one to the heirs of your joint bodies. An imperial parliament, navy, and army would be created to govern and protect both kingdoms in concert during your lifetimes and afterwards. The peers of Caris and Chisholm would be seated in the House of Lords of that parliament, and both Caris and Chisholm would elect members to the House of Commons.
He paused, once more meeting Charlian's gaze levelly, then bowed.
I fully realize, as does His Majesty, that no one in Chisholm has ever contemplated such a sweeping change in the relationship between your kingdom and Caris. Clearly, this isn't the sort of decision which can be made by a single person in a single day, even if that person be a king or a queen, and the nature of the threat your kingdom would be embracing is not one to be lightly shouldered.
but that threat already looms over both Chisholm and Corus. We can either confront it together or separately. His Majesty believes our chance of survival and victory is far greater together, and this proposal is the strongest surety he can offer that if, indeed, we face this peril together, we will go on together to whatever victory or other end awaits us.